Hello, friends. We're coming to you with a special edition of the Gold and Steel Show, where we cover all things Vegas Golden Knights. I'm your host, JP. I'm here with my partner in crime, Ian, and we're going to get right into this. It was trade deadline day, and boy, did the Vegas Golden Knights make a splash. Ian, I'm kind of flabbergasted here, buddy. George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon absolutely fleeced the league, in my opinion. And I don't know that I've ever seen, the Vegas Golden Knights get a ton of hate from around the league. I don't know if I've ever seen this much seething. Like, the league is a combination of shocked, angry, jealous, and thrilled all at the same time. How on earth does Kelly McCrimmon pull this stuff off? Before I throw it to you, we'll talk about each trade, but before I throw it to you, I got to send some credit to one of our followers on Twitter. Play the Song is the username, at DUUUVAL2. He said, Vegas, if other NHL teams are playing chess, Vegas is playing fourth dimensional backgammon. And I think that's a perfect description for what Kelly McCrimmon is doing. I mean, these guys are ballers. I was completely shocked by what has gone down the last 2 days. Just give me your initial thoughts, and then I'm going to tear into each of these trades. But how do you feel about all this, Ian? What, across the pond, I know I've been kind of sending you updates, and what's your vibe on what's happened?
Well, it came out of nowhere. So I saw your WhatsApp like pop on my phone, and I was thinking that's a weird time of the day to be receiving something from JP. And then obviously, you know, you told me about the first thing, and then it just flowed from there. So I'm not entirely shocked. So maybe not as flabbergasted as you, but the one that I didn't see coming, obviously, is the one we'll probably talk about first, which is the Thomas Hertl one. The others, yeah, we did talk, obviously, for those of you that haven't seen, we did a UK special episode where me and JP were in the same place, which meant I wasn't driving and it wasn't 5 o'clock in the morning, which is nice. So there was some other stuff I wasn't so shocked about, because we kind of talked about scoring and strength and potential D, although the Hanifin thing was surprising. But like you said, all these moves, and one of the things that we talked about in the UK episode was about teams that get lost in this kind of trying to do too many things at once. They try and build at the same time as trying to win, and it never quite works. They're either too cautious on one end, you know, or they don't have the pieces on the other. And I think Vegas, like, they could get egg on their faces. It could be, because, you know, if they go out in the first round or they don't make the playoffs, I don't want to say that, because Vegas fans are like, don't ever mention that. But if that was to happen, these trades look pretty silly. But in the mode they're in, they have to go for it. And you have to give it to the management that they've just kind of looked at everything, including people that they've only just drafted last year, you know, and said, look, he's a great player. He's an asset. Of course he is. But he's not an asset we need right now, and therefore, can we make it work? And I just think we're going to go through them one by one, as you said. But wow, I mean, we started off, and I was thinking, oh, okay, that's not the kind of trade I was expecting. I thought they'd do a little bit more, and then, boy, as I said on Twitter, like, I think the Vegas management have got trade difficulty set to easy, because that is some. That's a lot of assets that they've picked up. And every trade, in my opinion, I would say Vegas, you know, won the trade, if you can say such a thing. Yeah. And last thing on the because we're going to cover the trades rather than people's reactions. But the NHL reaction makes me laugh. I mean, the NHL is one of those kind of, you know, clubs where the old guard love to whinge about anything that's new and that they don't like. You know, I've seen all sorts of comments about Vegas cheating, and, you know, that they were gifted a team and they were gifted all these assets. And you're like, look, Vegas play by the rules, okay? If the league doesn't like the rules, or people in the league don't like the rules, change the rules. But they play by the rules. And this whole cap circumvention thing is just complete BS. I mean,
yeah.
You know, do they need to see, like, do they need Stone to put, like, pictures on Instagram of his injuries before people will believe And the conspiracy theorist, well, he gets injured all this every time this, you know, this time of year. And you're like, well, could that be his age, the number of games he's played to this point? I mean, I could be wrong. But given that the Vegas Golden Knights aren't actually in an automatic playoff place right now, they're in that kind of cusp between third and wild cards, and they're not playing that well, I find it highly unlikely they're sitting Mark Stone for some sort of cap benefit. You know, this, as we said earlier in the season, and for people that are from other teams, that have been too busy watching their own team to care unless something like this happens. But we talked about Eichel was injured for so long, the benefit that was going to give the team at the deadline. So, you know, yeah, is this because of injuries? Yes, it is, which has given them this cap benefit. But, you know, the hate just makes me laugh. And as I've always said to people who listen to the show and watch the show, just embrace it. Like, the league hates you, it's because you're good. So, and it's because they're scared. Because of how much these trades make Vegas an even bigger juggernaut than they already were.
Yeah, exactly. It's 100% true. And honestly, we're going to jump into these trades here, but I honestly think what Vegas is doing is they are challenging the notion of the way things have been done for a long time. They're challenging that as an accepted reality. The cycle of building a team, tearing it down, building a team, having a window, tearing it down, rebuilding. That's how everybody assumes it has to be done. And I think Vegas is actually kind of challenging that notion a little bit with all of this salary retention. And I saw someone else on Twitter/X post something along the lines of Vegas, the way they're doing things, they're going to be very good for a long time. They don't rebuild, they reload. It's like each season they just load back up again, and it infuriates pundits and fans from around the league because they say to themselves, they must be cheating. How are they doing this? They have to be cheating. And so they come up with all sorts of reasons why they must not be above board. I mean, the NHL keeps a really close eye on this stuff. I completely agree with you. There's absolutely no way the Vegas Golden Knights are cheating. They're working well within the rules. The GMs all voted to keep the rules this way. So I completely agree with you. It's, as you would say in the UK, that's total bollocks. And it is hilarious to watch how steamed people get, and not just fans. There are pundits and former players that were just pitching hissy fits today all over the web about this stuff. And man, I'm loving every minute of it. So let's dig through these trades really quick. Obviously, let's just start with the biggest one, the biggest splash today. Tomas Hertl is a Vegas Golden Knight. And frankly, I think they got a bargain. I mean, they didn't trade any roster players. I'm looking at NHL.com here. And the basics of the trade were they sent a prospect, David Edstrom, back to the Sharks and a first-round pick in the 2025 draft. And then they took back two third-round picks. I mean, I'm looking here. The Sharks retained, I think it's 17% salary.
That's right.
And Hertl's on a... Hurdle's on in the middle of an 8-year deal, and I think there's 6 years left. So this is a player with a lot of term, and he's a center. Obviously he plays into the Golden Knights' long-term plans. I mean, for me, I don't know. That seems kind of like a bargain to me. Now, given he's out right now, he's on IR, you know, he just had knee surgery, but they would have done their due diligence on that before going through the trade. According to Kelly McCrimmon today during his press conference, they've been working on the Hertl thing for quite a while. And I love that Hertl wasn't even on the market, really. Like, nobody saw him coming because he wasn't really even available. But McCrimmon and McPhee got in there and made him available, essentially. Made it a sweet enough deal for the Sharks. And the Sharks wanted to offload that salary. And what a move. I mean, it's... Right. Tomas Hertl is one of those Sharks that a lot of Vegas Golden Knights fans hated. But you hate him, but if he's on your team, you love him, right? So he's very quickly, I think, going to take that role on this team. What are your thoughts, though, on this Hertl trade? I mean, if we're going to get specific, what do you think?
I think it's a great capture. I think some of the stuff I saw yesterday about them not giving up a lot, I think in comparison to what they've got back, I would agree with that. I do think that Vegas have kind of, you know, as I said, I don't really like the term won the trade because, like, you don't know in 2025 where Vegas are going to finish. Therefore, you don't know what pick number that's going to be and who that is, all these kinds of things. So there's a lot of unknowns when you trade prospects as to who wins what trade. But on the face of it, I think the San Jose Sharks got what they want. They got rid of some cap long term. They got prospects. So they're probably sat there happier than I think Vegas fans would think. I mean, Thomas Hertl was a fan favourite, so they're not going to be happy about that. And like we didn't, they wouldn't have seen it coming either. There was other players on their roster that you would have thought were more likely to go than Hertl. The downside of the Hertl trade potential, I guess, is his injury. But like you said, I'd be amazed if they haven't done their due deal beforehand. If, you know, I would be shocked, actually, to be honest, because like the guys aren't stupid and they know what they're doing. The term is that a problem? Not really, because the reality is he's not of an age where that would concern me too much. And like all teams, like, you know, 6 years away is a long time away. Like, is the Thomas Hertl contract going to hurt you in 5 years? Well, you know, if you've won three cups by then, who cares? So I just don't.
Right.
I don't think that's something that anybody in, you know, in 2024 needs to particularly worry themselves about. The LTIR thing obviously helps because it helped make the trade. I think they probably would have done it anyway. It's just they probably couldn't have done it along with Hanifin and all the others. So I think that's the benefit of that. And for me, what this does mean is that they, because there was a guy that posted, and I love the tweet. I wish I could remember the person that did it. So I'm afraid I can't give any kudos to the person that did it. So yeah, downside of driving. And he said about, well, these trades basically mean you've got 15 million of cap next year to be able to spend on all these kind of UFAs and RFAs. And I thought, well, he's right, but the Vegas Golden Knights management, like, they know that. Like, they already know that. They knew that before they made these trades, which tells me two things. So one, I think Jonathan Marchessault isn't going to re-sign at Vegas. And I think that Chandler Stephenson is the same. And I think they know this already. And it's not that they don't want to sign in Vegas. I just think they've had those conversations. They've had the kind of agent sit down chats and, you know, and looked at what people want, what term they want, what price they want. And I think that at the moment, they're probably too far away from where they want. And they've kind of made the decision, okay, well, we're going for this year anyway. And therefore, the 15 million of extension money, as the guy was talking about, basically will be used for players, yes, but not the players that we think it'll be. Because Thomas Hertl, to me, gives you that 1-2 punch in the centre. And then William Karlsson, presuming he obviously doesn't get traded or something, would then be the third centre, in my opinion. But, I mean, it's an amazing – he is an elite-level centre. You know, I get the fact that there's some of the Vegas fans will hate the fact he's a Shark. Totally understand that. But at the end of the day, you know, he is one of the best centers in the league. You know, he's only just signed that really long extension, and the San Jose Sharks wouldn't have signed him on that unless they thought he was worth it. There was talk at the time that he was going to hit free agency, and you know, loads of teams would have been in for him then. So it's a real friendly. I mean, it's under 6 million. So you know, you can have a 1-2 punch, which is Eichel and Hertl as your two centers for under 20 million. And I think that's an amazing capture. The other thing to throw into this, and then I will shut up, JP, and let you talk, but is that the cap, for everything that I've read anyway, the cap is due to go up significantly, if not next year, then the year afterwards. So, you know, and teams like Toronto know this as well, which is why they've been able to do what they've done. So, again, if the cap was to go up by, you know, a couple of million, then suddenly this trade looks like an absolute blinder. So it's a fantastic move. I can't say anything more. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just it definitely stole the spotlight for the day. I mean, people were absolutely flabbergasted all over the league. Pundits, press, experts, insiders, fans. I mean, it's the blockbuster trade of the deadline for sure. And very stealthy. Nobody saw it coming. And that's a very astute point there, Ian, that I hadn't considered that McCrimmon, you're right. McCrimmon and McPhee, the whole management team, the front office, they likely already knew what they were up against in terms of re-signings in the offseason. And like you said, these deals do point to that, don't they, in terms of not being able to keep certain players and that gets us to our next trade, which is Noah Hanifin. That, you know, same thing there. Like Hanifin, the implication and the understanding, everybody seems fairly certain that an extension is in the works, that Hanifin is going to become part of the decor. And just real briefly, I'll go over that trade just so we have the details here. Golden Knights picked him up yesterday in a three-way deal between Calgary Flames and the Philadelphia Flyers. Calgary got a first-round pick in the 2025 NHL draft. We also sent Daniil Mirimanov their way and a conditional third-round pick in the 2025 draft. The Flames retained 50% of Hanifin's salary, and the Flyers, I believe, retained 25%. So 75% retention on that deal. And he's paired up with Petrangelo right now. And somehow, the Golden Knights arguably have the best decor in the league, or one of the top two or three. And then they managed to improve it somehow. And Martinez is still on the roster. You know, Martinez is out hurt right now, but as of right now, he's rolling into the playoffs too. So I think you're right, though. I think these trades kind of show maybe what they've got in mind for the future of the team. And of course, you know, two of those trades were in the lineup last night. And you're right. I mean, they're not playing well right now. They're in the second wild card spot. But I think it's amazing that the management is still all in, and they're not going to react just based on one or two games, right? Like, just because they lost last night doesn't mean they weren't still going to go for this hurdle thing. But, what are your thoughts on Noah Hanifin? I mean, major pickup. He's a hardcore first-pairing defenseman, and he's got a great offensive upside as well. So, you know, they've added some offense to the decor, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I remember when Calgary picked him up because he was at Carolina, I believe. I'm gonna have to use you as my stat checker, but I believe
I'll double check
he
that
was
while you're
Carolina
talking,
draft pick back in the day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I would guess a Ron Francis special, but he's a good player. He's young. He's got. You know, you could sign him on a nice little kind of 5 or 6 year deal, and that would work nicely because, again, you don't really particularly have to worry about his age. I think he's seen as, like you said, as a top pairing defenseman. Has he lost a little bit of stock this year because of what Calgary have been doing? Possibly, but not nowhere near like a level that would concern me at all. The question is going to be how
you're correct. By the way, Carolina, you're correct. Carolina drafted him, and he started with Carolina. So just wanted to throw that in there. But continue.
Oh, thank you. There you go. So I do know what I'm talking about. That's good. But the I love it. I think it's a good pickup. The one kind of risk for Vegas going forward, not this season, but going forward is a few of their decor are on the older side. You know, I'm thinking McNabb, mm-hmm. obviously Martinez as well. So Hanifin allows you to kind of recycle some of those things out. You know, and that's presuming they don't trade a McNabb or a Martinez. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a deal isn't agreed with Hanifin in principle. And then we get to the trade. We get to the draft. Suddenly, Vegas make a trade, and then the contract is signed. You know what I mean? Like you don't. Again, this is where the league, the people, you know, who are maybe naive when it comes to how contract negotiations work, don't realize that a lot of this can be agreed, you know, and done, but just not signed, so that Vegas can kind of make the moves they need to make before they announce it. But I'd be surprised if they let Hanifin go. But to be honest, JP, like the amount they paid for him, even if they do let him go, okay. As long as they get what they need out of him from a cup perspective, I wouldn't be concerned about that.
Yeah, 100%. It's still a great rental, even if he doesn't end up staying, right? So it's, like I say, all three of these deals were so cleverly crafted. McCrimmon impressed a lot of people today. He already... had a lot of fans and a lot of people that are impressed with what he's able to do. But today, a lot of people were singing his praises. And then, of course, there's the first pickup that they made, the first trade, the last one we have on our list here, which is Anthony Mantha, traded to the Knights from the Capitals in exchange for a second round pick in the 2024 draft and a fourth round pick in the 2026 draft. And 50% salary was retained by Washington in that trade. Mantha is also he's huge. First of all, he fits right into the team. Like, he's just massive, right? Just a massive player. Plays with a little bit of an edge, right? Definitely scoring. I love that he's already got 20 goals this season, this far in. And, you know, look, there's always an adjustment period. Bit of a rough start for Mantha last night. You know, he was in the lineup, and on his first shift, he drew a double minor, which ended up is ultimately what kind of put the Knights in a hole, and they lost against Vancouver last night. But what are you going to do, right? Like, any player could have had that happen. I don't blame that on him. And there's an adjustment period for sure, right? Double minors happen. He didn't stick the guy in the face on purpose, but kind of a rough first shift for Mantha. But still another great pickup, super cheap, you know, a winger, like, bolstering this team is so deep, and people are getting healthy. Like, Dorofeyev was just activated off of IR. People are starting to come back to the lineup. You know, I think Carrier is skating again. So if they can stay in the hunt and stay in that second wild card spot, or even the first, or get back to third place, I kind of feel sorry for whoever draws Vegas in the first round, to be honest. And I heard pundits today joking about that. It's like all these teams work so hard to get top seed, and then the reward for that is facing a really stacked Golden Knights team in the first round. But, you know, they got to make it first, right? So, but what are your thoughts, Ian, on Mantha as a pickup?
You know, he was the first one, wasn't he? And he was the one that I was kind of like, eh, that's not a bad move. I know that. And I hope it's easier for me to be more critical of these trades than maybe yourself or some of our kind of ex-buddies. That always sounds weird. Twitter buddies always sound much better, but you know what I mean? Ex-buddies in terms of the people we chat to on there.
It's the least spectacular of the three, for sure.
Yeah, but I do think it was the kind of move I was expecting. You know, of the three trades, to be honest, this was the one that I kind of was like, yeah, that makes sense. The other two caught me off guard. I didn't think they'd make a move for a defenseman. And obviously nobody saw the Hurdle trade coming, but the Mantha trade, you know, like I said, he's having a pretty good season. It's on a really bad team. So 20 goals on the Capitals is not bad, given that let's be honest, the Capitals are having a pretty dreadful season by their standards anyway. Excuse me. So he was super cheap. I see him as a rental. I don't think he'll re-sign. I could be wrong, but I just don't see what they gave up for him. His age, what he'll want as a contract, he could earn a lot more money somewhere else, and I think that's what will happen. I remember when the Capitals picked him up again. He was at Detroit, wasn't he, before he moved to the Capitals, and he, you know, he was hot property when he went to Washington. So I think he's definitely a serviceable player. His strength and everything as well is he gives you some of what you lose when Mark Stone's not there. It'd be better if he doesn't give away double minors and lose games. But the reality is, I think in the playoffs, he's going to be another player that you're kind of sat there thinking, this is a real asset to have him. Imagine fully healthy squad. He could be on the third line. And as you said, there's some teams that are very... they have great teams, you know, and that's why they're in playoff spots as well. But they are predominantly, you know, weighted towards one line or another. Whereas I think Vegas, and this is what they were like last year, have that true kind of four line, whip in terms of that every single one is strong and has skill and has strength and scoring ability. And that's where I think the Mantha trade makes total sense. Total sense for me. It might not be as sexy as the Hurdle trade, but it's still a great move. And, you know, as I said, the Vegas fans must be over the moon with the way the deadline's gone. Coming in, I didn't think we'd be recording this episode, JP, because the trade deadline was looking pretty quiet. And then And then 48 hours happens and you're like, oh, okay, they are awake.
Right.
And yeah, so a lot to like, mate. A lot to like.
For sure, it's remarkable how happy Golden Knights fans are today, considering how poorly they've been playing and considering that they've now slipped to the second wildcard spot. I mean, like a playoff berth isn't even guaranteed at this point, but it's injected a lot of hope into the fan base, and I certainly think it will inject some morale into the team. And there's still a six-point lead, a six-point gap. In terms of for somebody to bump them out of that second wild card spot. So if they can get it together now, good chance that they're going to go on a playoff run. So, well, Ian, I know it's the middle of your day and it's towards the end of mine, but we had to just pump this out. It's been such a huge day. I felt like you and I both agreed we needed to have a quick chat about this. Just a trade deadline recap. Very exciting couple of days for the Golden Knights. And for our listeners, we will be back at our usual time here in a week or so or week and a half with another regular episode. But just felt like we had to bring this one to you. A lot of news to report. And fingers crossed, the Golden Knights have a strong game. They're in desperate need of a win at this point. They've lost, I believe, four straight. So hopefully it's in the cards, and obviously Hurdle won't be in the lineup at that point. The two new guys will be. They've already played one game, obviously. So fingers crossed that the Knights are ready for some bounce back wins here. But well, Ian, thanks a bunch, bud, as always. And for our listeners, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Take care, be safe, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.